Greetings and welcome, everyone. It's All You Can Geek Gamecast, episode 688 miles per hour. Did I do it better? Sorry. I'm your host, Jim Gass, joined by, I know it's cheesy, joined by Mike Sinini.
What's up?
Corey Fineside.
Ahoy!
And Tony Kurkadak.
Hey.
Sorry, just trying to throw a curveball. I want to throw. Yes, yeah, that's what I'm trying to do.
Wasn't my favorite Christopher Lloyd impression, but it was all right.
Yeah, it was better than my first one on the movie cast. So as I was saying, and I was like, "Oh, I gotta do this," and then I was doing it this time. I'm like, "I'm gonna do this a little more like Christopher Lloyd." But all right, welcome, folks, to the movie cast. We are live on Twitch starting Tuesday nights 8 o'clock. We already did the movie cast. If you miss any of these live broadcasts, all of our content's over on YouTube. So be sure to subscribe so that you get notified. And give us a like too. We like to get those. We like the likes, right? We like the likes.
Yeah, like a like.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. And leave us a comment, good or bad. Leave us a comment. Like. We enjoy conversation, so we invite it. Anyways, thanks guys. Here we go. Gamecast. What have you been up to? I think we're gonna hear a lot about Final Fantasy VII right now. I think.
Yeah.
Corey.
Probably.
Tony.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to kick us off, and Mike and I can finish up with like a dragon a little bit.
Sure.
I was actually under the weather like Saturday and Sunday, so I hardly did anything, unfortunately.
Oh, so bad you didn't get to play it. Oh, I hate when that happens. But, being sick, but not so sick you can't
right.
play.
Even do anything. It's it sucks because I was like, I'm just gonna like this weekend, I'm not doing anything, I'm just going to be playing this game.
Yeah,
but I did get to chapter 4 in it, so
That's decently farther than I thought, based on what you just said.
Well, because I was like, as soon as I felt better, I'm like, all right, I'm just blitzing this as much as possible.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I got into chapter 4. It's pretty amazing. It's like, just picking up where you left off, and you're just thrown into this town, and like, there's so much to do already. You're like, oh my gosh, kind of overwhelmed a little bit, because it's been a little while since 7, and so you still have to kind of get back into the swing of things. And so I'm like, all right, I'm just gonna go through all the tutorials and see like what I need to do. And then you get caught up in this card game that's out there, and he's like, oh, I should probably play this card game. And so I'm playing this card game and trying to find all these people to play this card game against, and like not even doing these other things, and you get distracted by these other people. It's just like so many things going on constantly. But as far as like the game goes and the flow of the game, it's been very, very very much like what I was hoping the game would be, right? So everything I expected, everything I was hoping for, it's met those expectations, and in some areas it's even exceeded those expectations, because you're getting your party like immediately. You have your party, you're already leveled up essentially to a point where you don't feel like, oh, I'm starting from scratch or anything. And so you're just getting to go out and do things and you know, fight monsters and start to go towards this, you know, mission of or mystery of what's going on with, you know, Cloud and his memories and stuff like that. And I do want to ask you, Tony, about like the opening sequence with the last game ends and this game starts, and then the jump, like there's like a gap. I'm confused what happened there.
So yes, the gap is you had to play Intergrade, which was the DLC for...
I did not play Intergrade, yeah.
I didn't either.
We didn't recap it? I thought they would recap that at least then.
No, because like, it's difficult, right? Because like, if they made it too mandatory, you're going to burn a lot of bridges with people being like, what the heck, you know? But, you know, if you don't make it too, like, enough mandatory, then people are like, well, I don't need to buy this and play this. What I did was, it's only 4 hours long, so if you want to go back and play it at some point. Otherwise, I would just suggest there's a video I can link you to. Right before the game came out, I watched like 2 half-hour videos of this guy just summarizing the story. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, on both things.
I mean, that's probably what I would just...
Yeah. Because, you don't really need to do the gameplay. It's just basically in Intergrade, Yuffie, as an emissary of Wutai, gets sent on a mission to Midgar. And stuff happens, right?
Stuff happens.
And it's mostly centered around her, but they... You know, they show you a little bit about what Cloud and the gang are up to as well. So,
okay,
that's pretty much that. But yeah, as for me, I mean, I've been playing. I put an ungodly amount of hours in this game.
I keep seeing people post hours. I'm just like, holy shit, this game is huge.
Yeah, I want to say, I think I'm at like 20 something right now, low 20s.
Okay. I think I'm at 5.5. So.
Oh, you're blitzing through it then. You're not. Are you not doing the side content and stuff?
I was like trying. At first, I was, but then I'm like, I'm just gonna just get through these story missions and see where I'm. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, wait, I'm at chapter 4 already. How did I get here?
Yeah, like chapter. I'm only chapter 6 or 7, I think. And one of the chapters is like basically an hour long.
I mean, I just got like I just finished 3, and like I'm in 4 now.
Are you in the Junon?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I spent a lot of time in that first area, the grasslands.
Mm-hmm. I was. Oh yeah, like a lot of it's not uncovered for me.
Okay, that makes more sense. Because like the thing is, you know, I really wanted to see how they evolved the gameplay. Because you know, remake, for as good as it was, you know, the shortcomings there was. It was very linear, right? And that makes sense, right? Because in the original game, that sequence is only a couple hours long.
And it was very linear. We weren't in the open world yet. Yeah.
Yeah. And they had to be like, oh, how do we make a worthwhile RPG experience out of this? We need to add a lot of new stuff. And, you know, you can't really deviate from, you know, the critical path there, really. So I was interested in how they handled Rebirth's open world. And it was really, really fantastic. And... such a stark comparison to 16, which you all know I really did not like.
Missed you, yeah.
Because there was just nothing, there's no reason to explore the world, and I didn't have any, you know, intrinsic reason to either. I was like, well, if you're not going to put meaningful items or interesting, you know, things for me to see,
whatever,
like, what's the point? Like, why am I just fucking wasting my time and stuff like that? Whereas this, it's, you know, on the opposite side, where, you know, it's probably not perfect, you know, if I have to think about, you know, something like Breath of the Wild or Shades of the Kingdom, where it's like there's stuff to do like every, you know, X amount of feet or something like that. But it's definitely in that right direction where it's like you can see like a tower and kind of like Assassin's Creed style, you go to the tower, you activate it, and it's like cool. Other things,
and a lot more things. Yeah.
And then, you know, on your way to one of those things, you'll probably see something else. And it's like, okay, so that's fun, right? Because.
And then you're building levels towards those, like.
Right, and they give you reasons. Yeah, right. They give you reasons to go to these spots, because not only do you get things from doing it, but like there's this dude Chadley who's like, "Oh, I'll reward you for exploring the world and helping me, you know, fill out my database and stuff like that." And then he'll give you rarer materia that is quite beneficial for you to have in your party. Mm-hmm. So the first zone, I just kind of 100% critical'd it. I was just like,
"Nice."
You know, I'm not sure how I will with the other zones, but. At least for this first one, I just want to experience it.
My thought was like, I'll get back to that. I'll get
back to that. Yeah. Yeah. So I didn't understand the second area at all, because I was like, oh, you know what? You know, there's certain things I liked that I'm like, okay, I don't mind doing this. And there are other things I'm like, you know, I can just kind of whatever it and stuff like that. But gameplay is great. They really refine remakes combat. A little tougher because the enemies... definitely hit a little bit harder and require a bit more strategy. There were already a couple enemies where, like, I just got rocked the other day with, like, a, not, like, boss, but, like, a elite enemy or something like that, and they just killed me, like, 3 times in a row. I'm like, what am I doing wrong here? And I just, like, had to completely load up, like, change my loadout and stuff like that, and I was like, okay, all right.
Okay. That happened to me once, because I was, like, I don't really pay attention to my health, like keeping myself topped off.
Yeah.
And so, like, I ran into a snake boss. And
oh, no, that was hard. Half health. That was a hard boss.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, oh, shoot. So I actually had to reload further back, because I needed to make sure I had my health back.
Right.
And enough potions, whatever. I was like, oh, my gosh. So then I made sure I was like topped off, and I did have to do that too. I had to change my lineup as well to make sure I had certain people in my party and with the right, you know, weakness, like.
Yeah, elf materia and stuff like that. Yeah. So, I mean, honestly, it's really everything I wanted out of, you know, the remake of the first one, but they couldn't do, right? And I get that.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I'm like already looking forward to the last one. You know, third one, the final one, because I can only imagine what they're going to do with that title, right? Because if this is just such an improvement over the last one, and they prove it even more, I mean, we're going to be eating good. And honestly, this is kind of like where I think the direction of Final Fantasy should go, right? Where it's like half real time, half, you know, turn-based combat menu.
And they give you, they give you that option too, like classic mode or whatever, to make it even more the old school stuff. Like
But yeah, no, it's absolutely worthy of all the scores it's gotten, and I hope the reward for that. Because
Definitely, it's a spectacle. Like it is, like it's everything I said. And if you listen to the movie cast, like how Dune is what you go to the movies for, that type of movie. This is like a big budget game. This is what you expect from a big budget game, and like everything that is put into it, and the production value, the graphics, the voice acting, the even the UI, like the menus and things. It's like the ease of use and like the how it feels is this, it feels good to play it, and doesn't nothing's getting in your way when you're playing the game.
And the one thing I really want to highlight is they actually have so many mini games. I don't know if you guys really remember some of the mini games in Final Fantasy over the years, but like I think I've probably done 6 or 7 already in the game. So you have like Queen's Blood, which is the card game, which I actually really like.
It's very simple but very rewarding.
I'm like, God, like they're times when like the enemy just wrecks me on their last turn. I'm like, oh, why didn't I see this coming? They have one where it's like the characters will turn into like their PS1 polygonal models, right?
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, like they look, and they even like they're aware of it. They're like, what the hell is going on? And like they're like, why do I look like this? But they have like this like pseudo real-time strategy type game where you have to drop units and advance on the enemy base and destroy their commander and stuff like that. So that's been fun. There's straight up a Fall Guys level where like they have that you're on a circular ledge, and they have like these spinning, beams, and you have to dodge them and stuff like that. But they've been really good diversion and just varying up the game. Mm-hmm. So it's been satisfying.
Awesome. All right. And Chocobo Races?
Of course.
Yep. Gotta be there.
On the first thing to do.
Gotta be there. Mike, how's Like a Dragon? Did you finish it?
I finished, the main story, and right now I'm doing some mop-up of, the side content in the premium adventure mode. 80 to 90 hours, I think I have in it.
Oof.
Yeah.
I will not be that far. I finish. I will not be that far.
I see why the ending was divisive, and it's not, bad. It's not like Mass Effect 3, but it's not good either. I think it's, considering how long everything is and long-winded some of the monologues in this game are, the ending is rather abrupt.
Okay.
Yeah. And doesn't quite give you answers to a couple things you wanted it to.
Not narratively satisfying? You're just like, oh, nothing really happened. Well, that's why, because at some point I think I will play this game, but
I mean, it's just a lot of the momentum sort of peaked earlier, but then there's something else that you're still like curious about, and you don't get necessarily an answer to that.
So like clearly like sequel bait again.
Yeah.
Yes and no. I mean, it's just whatever. It just like it's abrupt, like narratively abrupt.
Okay.
Because like one, you do, this isn't really a spoiler, this happens almost every Yakuza game. One of the final fights, actually the final fight, it's preceded by a very long monologue where a villain tells us stuff we already know.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, resolution whatsoever to like a few things. The things are just abrupt.
Okay, so it's like kind of like you beat the villain, it's like cool, like let's go home, and it just credits.
Yeah, and I don't know. Yeah, sort of. I mean, there's more stuff, but it's not. Things are glossed over. It's weird. It's just it wasn't. And then there's an interesting choice. There's interesting choices for both protagonists at the end that people might argue with. But so I mean, overall, I like the game more than I thought I would, especially early on. But the beginning end. Beginning and the end are sort of iffy with me. Now, for you, I don't know how much you're going to like the turn in the middle, Jim. I loved the turn in the middle because I like Kiryu.
I am at Animal Crossing Island, and I've had about enough of these middle these mini games in this game. Like, I'm sorry, game. I'm going to complain about this game because I don't hate it, but I will tell you that this is like over full. Like there's just there's no reason. There is no reason to have a game that has this much other game in it. Like why do I have to play Animal Crossing in this game? Go play Animal Crossing. It's fantastic what it does.
How much do you have to do?
You have to play it. I couldn't just skip it.
Yeah, you do end up there. You have to I don't know. There is a way that you could just leave. Like when you get to like one side of the beach, you could just leave.
Yeah, but you still gotta play for like I'm still cleaning up shit across my way. I have to
do a little bit there. Yeah, I didn't have any interest in you know.
I don't want that. Like, the Pokemon that game, one, I was able to skip a lot of. I had to play one of the fights for.
Those I actually did just finish in the premium adventure. I finished the Pokemon one storyline. That was fun.
Just play Pokemon.
What are you talking about?
Just play Pokemon.
What?
I'm sorry.
Just play Pokemon. How many hours do you have to do with this?
The island?
Not multiple. Maybe one at the most.
Okay. Yeah.
You're complaining about 1 hour, Jim?
I'm at the 1 hour mark, so I'm almost done.
It's not fun if you don't want to play it at all. Literally, you're like cleaning up trash.
Basically, let me tell you guys. Let me tell you what the problem I have with this game right now is. The story for me was just picking up. I feel like this game has taken forever to get to what it wants me to do. Like, I feel like this game started off with the nostalgia of the first game and how much I liked it. And I gave it credit. I gave it some leeway to build me into its story. Like, I was like, because early on, I'm like, I don't think this is that impressive. I don't think what they're trying to tell me right now is I'm not that hooked on it. But you know what? I like the first game so much, I'm going to give them that little leeway. And then, like, I'm starting to get a little hooked on the story in Chapter 6. Like, I get to the end of Chapter 5. It was a cool ending. I'm, like, getting into this idea of what's happening. And then, like, nope, stop. Stop. You got to do something you don't even want to do. And it has nothing to do with the story. And you got to play the middle game.
That's like a staple of Yakuza.
No. I didn't have to do that in, like, a dragon.
You rarely get stuck there. You might get like an introduction, but you do kind of get stuck on that island for a little bit. And you know, I gave it a try, and you know, I did go back like one time to get it to like a certain level, but it wasn't. It's not.
I mean, I'm not obviously playing it, but like I think this is one of the times Sega should be commended about putting so much game into a game rather than
I don't think so, because I think it takes away from the game.
No,
like, I mean, it takes away from the game.
It doesn't. It wouldn't matter.
You're the first person I've heard complain about it.
Really. I know that, and I'm sure I'm like one of the few. I'm sure of it. I'm just telling you from my point of view, it takes away from the game. I'm sorry, that's the way it is.
It wouldn't matter as much if you weren't actually stuck there.
If I could just leave. I thought it was going to intro me. I thought it was going to intro it and then say, "Okay, now you can go." No, I'm like, I can't leave yet. I'm like, what the hell?
I mean, if you skip through some dialogue and just walk to a location, you probably can leave. It's not necessarily where you started. There's one of the beaches. You find a dolphin and it'll take you back.
Thank God. I'll look for that dolphin.
So, you got to get to chapter 7-ish or 8, though, for the real
turn
in the game.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. So I'll move it along. But all right. But, that's pretty much it for me. Go on, Mike.
Yeah, so I've played that. I'm in the premium adventure, running out of things to do. I'm not going to go back to Dondoku Island, though. I don't care about that.
Okay.
But I also, you know, I strapped in and played a little Helldivers.
I was going to ask you guys, any Helldiver plays?
Now, I haven't.
Oh, I couldn't.
I haven't been able to play with anyone I know. Like, I've been doing it with randoms.
The randoms are fine. Yeah.
It's fine. I mean, it's just fine. Like, I'm about ready to play with people I know. Because, I mean, I'm just level 6. I'm not far, but...
It does remind me of, like, as we got older, like, earlier on it was so much easier to the game with friends. And then as everybody gets their own, like, schedules going on as we're all older here. And it's, like, it reminds you how hard it is to
find a group. The opposite schedule of us. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm...
You know. Like, you guys messaged the other night that you were ready to play. And I didn't see it until I was, like... I think I was asleep already, but I you know, I mean, like, I was like, oh, I was out. I was out already. I was I was out that night at a festival. So I was like, crap, you know. But it's cool. I do want to play with you guys on a couple of missions and get that experience. Yeah.
I think that would be cool. It's definitely the stratagems are what separate this game from everything else. I'm not necessarily a fan of how foggy everything always is, but I guess that's just a necessity based on how they spawn stuff.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, fog is a weather aspect, but it's not
dust or fog. Like, you can't see like very far at all.
I think it depends on
the planet that you go to.
Yeah, I was gonna say the planet, and also there's like
there's weather conditions.
There's a vent type timer things. It's like, oh, it's cold this time, and it's, or it's gonna be foggy this time. So you might have just had some bad patches of that, because I don't think it's that
regularly. It's foggy at all. It won't be foggy. Yeah. I have encountered the fog. That's not that bad. Rain is the worst one.
Yeah.
Rain, you won't fucking see shit until something's in your face.
Yeah. And they're introducing vehicles, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, vehicles and a mech. Apparently we're getting it next week. The cadence that they're trying to stick with is the second Tuesday of every month for patches and content.
That's a pretty big content addition right there. Like, I was like shocked to see that being added. It's a whole new dynamic into the game, which is awesome. I think it's much needed, but especially
the one big downfall of it is like you have to run everywhere right now, which is like a lot of times I'm just like, I don't feel like running across the map right now. Like, let's just go. Like,
yeah,
we could get a couple extra samples, but like, it's not worth the time, right? I'm not going to spend 10 minutes to get 2 samples. Yeah. Let's just fucking go.
So, yeah. Well, that's cool though.
They're doing really well. Matt Piscatella was having a conversation with his name is Christopher Dung or something in Europe. He's one of the guys that usually gives us UK sales numbers and stuff like that. And they're both like, yeah, Helldivers increased again week over week. So like from week one to week two is increase. And from week two to week three, it was selling more than week two, which sold more than week one, which is like, this never happens really. Like, that's
this is
week one is usually the peak, and then everything kind of peters out from there.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see. I heard that this is not a Sony owned studio at this moment yet, right? It's just a Sony published game. I heard Arrowhead was on the, it's going to be acquired. That's a rumor I heard, that they would be acquired by Sony.
I think it's bullshit.
But we'll see.
I hope so. I mean, the co-founder who's on Twitter and actually posts a pretty decent amount.
Yeah.
The way he's responded to things, it says we are independently owned and stuff like that, which
sure,
it could happen. I won't say no, but like, I think if it were to happen, he would just not say things like that and just
I got you.
You know, whatever.
All right.
You know, because the last game they worked on was Helldivers 1, so you know, they're good at their very niche thing. And you know, the thing is, like, honestly, you know, getting back into the acquisition thing, you know, what's the point of Sony owning them, right? Like, if they have a good working relationship, hey, you're going to be our Helldivers team, like. You don't need to buy them for that, right? Like, Nintendo has a couple studios that work exclusively with them. They don't own them. Mm-hmm. Just, hey, you make games for us, and that's cool, you know? So, like, we don't need to outright buy you because your company culture is way different than ours, and, you know, we don't need to manage that aspect of the studio. We just need you to make fucking games for us. That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
Plus, I think it'd be a spit in the face, right, if they just laid off all those employees and were like, we're buying a studio, guys. It's like...
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
We shut down this studio to buy this studio.
We talked about this last week, getting into the studio layoff conversations, and we had another one, I think, in between this podcast and the last one, right? We had EA, thank you. 670? I think 670 employees, I think? Or 607, one of those.
It's in the news.
It's in the news, yeah. I know, I'm flipping through. Don't worry. But... That wasn't my next one I was going to talk about, but yes. So they lost 5%, 670 of its employees. They're going to focus. Is this one of the companies that are going to focus less on? They're going to more focus internally on IPs, not on licenses, right? We're talking about that a little bit. So that's going to be their new strategy. We have other news to talk about too. Another company's thinking this too, but not licenses, but big games. So EA is going to reduce its scope. Right, so I guess we got some canceled Mandalorian first-person shooter game that was done. I heard that was axed from this whole thing.
And that was supposed to be done by Respawn. So
Respawn.
Yeah, Respawn was supposed to be working on that. They still are working on their
Jedi Survivor.
Yeah. So what else we got from this release? So we had the layoffs, which sucks. We got the cancellation of a game, which sucks. We got the wants to build its own IPs, but like right now they don't have a lot to stand on because their sports games are what they are. Madden sells like crazy, obviously, but like what other games AAA have they released that were their own recently?
I don't know.
I posted a bunch. So
well, I know Dragon Age,
that is
well. Dragon Age is what I'm saying. Dragon Age is in development hell right now.
right? Well, apparently we're getting it this year. So, you know, I mean, the thing is they announced it way soon. Again, I think it was just, hey, we're recruiting for the new Dragon Age game. So if you want to work on the new Dragon Age game, come to EA, you know, and stuff like that. But they have their sports studio. They have Respawn.
Sports always make good. Yeah, the sports games sell. We know that.
No, I know
they have Respawn. They have Respawn, which is working on. Hopefully, this will free up Titanfall 3.
Well, there's a rumor about that. That there is a new game in the universe, but it will not be a Titanfall game. So I don't know what that means exactly. Mm. I don't know how much I got pick stock in that.
More Apex Legends. Apex Legends 2.
But. Like, you know, they have, they're obviously working on the next Mass Effect game, but that doesn't exist yet. So, and that's such a far ways away. We've talked about how long away that game is. So, I mean, hopefully they do surprise us with Dragon Age this year. That would be cool. I just, you know, I feel like what are they releasing? Because they've brought in so many licensed games and that's been their thing for a while. And it's like, what do we have from them now? Like, you know, that's what I'm trying to think, step back to see it. Because it's sure their stuff was sprinkled in, but the licensed games were their like their big releases, and it's like that's what you're always thinking about, like the Star Wars games, and which they didn't really do much of, the Marvel games, which again they didn't do much of.
Well, I mean the thing is they have a couple Marvel games in development right now. Which
I thought they were
the Captain America and Black Panther, games.
But I heard one of those was canceled too,
and they also have the Iron Man game.
Oh. Maybe one of those. One of the three.
Captain America and Black Panther is one game.
One game, yes.
Okay. So one of them I heard was not going to be released. That's why I heard
both of those were going to be released. We're safe.
We'll see. So. We'll see.
I mean, it's whatever. Like, this is just
not what you want to hear, but whatever.
It's the equivalent of Disney right now. Like, all these studios are, you know, whether it's video games or whether it's movies. Everybody is in like survival mode right now, right? Because
I know.
You know, so you have pre-pandemic where business as usual, right? You have the pandemic where everybody kind of boomed because digital entertainment nobody was the only thing that was really safe to do, right? And now we're in post-pandemic where, you know, the economy is kind of shitty, you know, for a lot of places worldwide. And, you know, just people are doing other things, right? Or they projected that this growth from the pandemic, which would continue, which clearly it didn't, and I don't know why these fucking studio heads thought it would. So they're just in a retraction period, and they want to take safe bets, right? And again, you know, just like Square Enix with Avengers, and I'm sure, you know, EA with Star Wars. Those Star Wars games probably cost... I'm not sure if it was public, but they must have spent a lot of fucking money getting it. Because remember, it was a 10-year deal, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Like we talked about it, and I think we're in year 7, 8.
Yeah,
I mean, it's getting close to the end.
It's getting close.
Yeah, it's getting close to the end, and I'm pretty sure that they did not get the return on investment on those because for the first the first 5 years, all they had to show was Battlefront 1 and Battlefront 2, right? The second of all, which is infamous now for you know how poorly received that was, and then after that, that's when they finally got some traction with the Jedi.
Survivor.
Fallen Order first.
Fallen Order, thanks. Fallen Order, and then they had that Rogue Squadron game, right?
Yeah.
Mm.
But if they're canceling that Mandalorian game, which apparently wasn't supposed to be the Mandalorian, it was supposed to be a Mandalorian.
Yeah. First person. Yeah.
They managed to cancel that, which makes me think, like, yeah, they're not happy with how much these fucking licenses cost. And if we just want to cite the Insomniac hack, where they, you know, Disney/Marvel wanted $100 million. Right off the bat for Spider-Man, how much do you think fucking Star Wars cost? Like it had to have been around that much, right?
More, maybe
more. At least for one game, right? Let alone a 10-year deal. We're talking probably like $1 billion or something like that.
Yeah. Could have been. You're right.
Making the money. You're just not making back on these things.
Just to tie this together with the Warner Brothers announcement, Warner Brothers is going the way of Konami, it sounds like, with going less AAA games and more mobile live service games, I feel like this is a tough statement to make as a company,
especially considering what's happened in the last like 12 months. It's the opposite. It's like they learned the opposite lesson that any logical person would see when they see Hogwarts Legacy. You know, AAA. I mean, I don't know how AAA really. I mean, it's big, right?
But it was a very good game too. Yeah, they did a great job.
Sure. And it's like their best-selling game. It actually beats Call of Duty for once, and. for like that the year.
Best selling game of the year, yeah.
Yeah. And then Suicide Squad comes out as a total dumpster fire. There's like 10 people playing it at once online. And so the lesson they learned is, oh, but what if Hogwarts had like continued revenue?
Yeah, this is the same strategy every studio goes through.
That was the lesson they learned.
So this was the lesson that people learned, like, what was it? How long ago? 5 years ago we were talking about this with our studios, and they all went through this and it didn't work. Like, you can't just build a live service game. It's so hard to hit that thread that needle. to hit the right one that's going to make you money. There's so many flops that go in between. And, you know, I feel like this strategy is just, I mean, such a reactionary strategy to one game that just has, obviously they said was not reached sales expectancy, which we knew it. But then you had the number one game last year.
Right? Yeah, one move away from.
Like, you're not hurting. You just sold, you shouldn't be if you sold that many of that. I mean, who knows? Licensing, maybe you're right. Maybe licensing was crazy for that game. But, mm-hmm. like, I don't know. I feel like this is such a drastic move for a studio to make after selling the number one game last year to this flop. You know?
I'm sorry. I mean, the thing is, these people have to say things that are PR friendly, right? It probably was a PR person or at least somebody that was trained by PR. My assumption is that they have a bunch of live service games that are still in development, right? Suicide Squad was the first one that made it out the door, and they got to be like, yeah, this is our strategy, guys, and just put on a bold face, right?
Okay.
Because here's how it is in the video game industry for the unfortunate part, right? With game development taking so long, you know, you're talking 4, 5, 6 years, yeah. right? On some of these games. So you see something like Destiny come out. You see something like Fortnite come out. And you're like, shit, we need one of those, right? We need a Destiny, right?
Yeah.
Guys, get on a Destiny game, right?
Everybody
wants
one.
Okay, great. Everybody in 2017 wanted to be playing a Destiny-type game, right?
It's like 5 years ago we went through this.
Right, yeah. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So like now, all these live service games were probably ordered around that 2017, 2018 period, right? And now, come 2023, 2024, moving into 2025 at the end of the year, now these games are finally going to be released.
Yeah.
But the market has changed, right?
We moved on. Yeah.
Where it's like you have your winners, right? The winners, Fortnite, Apex Legends.
Staples, yeah.
You know, which and Matt Piscadella has talked about in a recent tweet when he did the last NPD things. These are the winners, right? Where it's like you're not just competing for people's like attention anymore. It's you have to be better than Fortnite. You have to be more addicting. Than Fortnite, you have to be, you know, like it's not just you that has to play Fortnite. You have to get your friends to fucking come over and play that, right? Because if you and your friends are playing this one game, right?
Yep.
And you got to convince 3, 4, 5 other friends to join you in this other game, right? And that just is a hard thing to do, especially when you have 5 years. Imagine investing 5 years into Fortnite, right? Whatever battle pass money you spend on that, whatever cosmetics you earn. Now it's like
there's people like that's the only game they play.
It's like, fuck no.
Yeah.
Fuck no, right? And, you know, especially, what was I going to say? Like, it's just such a risk, right?
Yeah.
Because by the time you come out, the market has changed already. And I imagine you'll probably see another one or two, right? Because, and even last year or 2 years ago with Gotham Knights, right? That had, like, weird, like, hey, was this supposed to be a games as a service type thing? Like, who knows, you know, question mark, and stuff like that.
Yep.
So it's just
almost it's certainly weird. Was,
and Warner Brothers is posturing themselves, right, for the future because, you know, and that's why they worked on Mortal Kombat 1 instead of moving to, like, Injustice 3 or something like that in the event that they wanted to sell the studios and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Where, you know, if they want to work on a Hogwarts Legacy 2 or whatever like that, which is what you'd think they want to do, like, oh, shit, we sold 20 million copies of this. That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, who knows what the health of Warner Brothers overall is going to be, right? And if you have a AAA studio of hundreds of people working on a game and you're trying to sell yourself, right? It's like, oh, by the way, you want to buy our company? Well, you got to deal with this fucking studio that could lose money. Like, who knows? Maybe Hogwarts Legacy was a flash in the pan and the sequel is going to fucking do half the numbers, right?
You don't know.
That sounds great. 10 million copies. But like, it's like, oh, well, if we tripled our budget, the numbers, again, don't add up. They don't make sense in the end.
Losing gamble. Yep. Gotcha. So, all right. What else we have in the news? We've got that one done. Let's see. We've got Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic remake developer Saber Interactive has reportedly left, as has been finished now, the parent company Embracer in a $500 million deal to become privately owned. So they, I heard the game is still in development. They didn't cancel this game.
Who knows? Who knows?
Still happening. That's what I heard.
Who knows? I'm but sure the final was to
there's
buy
There's still
themselves.
Hope is what it means.
$500 million bought themselves out of Embracer. What a nightmare that must have been for them. That company. It's the butt of a joke, that company. It really is. Churo chimed in here. Thank you for chiming in, Churo. Having a pre-established fan base helps, but that still has a lot of drama attached to it. I don't know if higher budget would mean more. I bet it will be the same fan base, the same amount of people. Yeah.
I mean, you don't find AAA game sequels really usually doing something like half. That would be like a catastrophe, but I guess.
Yeah, I mean, the thing for me is like, but you could gamble that it's going to be more. I'm sorry, you could gamble that because if you think about it, like now the word of mouth is out how good the first game was. If you hit it with the second game, you're drawing more people.
Sure. That's the hope, right? The hope is that you're getting people
Helldivers 1 to 2
bought pre-owned, and now you're getting all those people day one instead.
Helldivers 2 is obviously an odd one out, but it's an example I can use right now because it's fresh. The first game obviously didn't sell out like crazy, but it was. I remember my cousin saying how enjoyable the game was. It was really good, and then this Helldivers 2 game came out and just took the world by storm. So you can make a sequel to a game and do even better. So I don't know.
Well, I mean, so the thing is, as being hyperbolic with the half, all right, I'm just painting a worst case scenario where it's like, who knows, like maybe that pent-up demand for a Harry Potter's game of the last 20 years was met, right? I doubt it, right? I doubt it if they improve the system.
Also, Helldivers isn't costing hundreds of millions.
I know, right? Yeah.
Right? But then again, we just have to look up at Sony 2 weeks ago, right? You have Insomniac, who made Spider-Man 1, their best-selling first party game of all time at that point, right? And then, you know, six years later, with Spider-Man 2 becomes the fastest best-selling, you know, 10 million units in less than 4 months, and they still get laid off. Yep. So what are you supposed to do? Failure guarantees layoffs, but success doesn't guarantee you you're not going to have layoffs either.
Well, they usually do.
There's no security in success.
There's no security in this fucking
industry. Yeah, in this industry, when you release a game is usually when you have layoffs because you're done and you don't keep that much staff on anymore as you used to. Like that has historically always happened in the industry. The difference now has been you're getting layoffs, you know, during development like crazy because they can't afford to have the people on the staff that is. Like you're not overstaffing, you're understaffing now and you're working more. So like that's the difference. But you've always historically always had people that have been laid off, contracted employees for the job.
You're always going to have, you know, you're always going to have the contractors and stuff like that. But when your best studio, arguably the best studio in your fucking portfolio, you know, works on these games, gets them out on time, you know, or like no delays and stuff like that. And then you're like, yeah, they even released PR on Twitter. Said, yeah, unfortunately, you know, we're having to deal with a difficult time right now. Like, that's not a good sign, man. Like, that is atypical of what happens. It's not just like, oh, a bunch of contractors left and they're on to the next thing or something like that. That's like, leads are gone. Like, this is going to be bad for the company. And like, honestly, anybody looking forward to Wolverine or Spider-Man 3, like, I would be worried right now, honestly. Yeah,
absolutely.
Because those games are going to be worse because of that. So, anyway, just tie this back in with EA and Warner Brothers. It's just a bad time for everybody because all these studios are in panic mode. They're trying to, you know, rein in their spending, right? And then, I mean, I didn't post it on the news. Rockstar is calling back all their employees back to the office.
That's right.
For the last, last crunch push. Segment. Yeah. And they're worried about, you know, more security leaks, more breaches and stuff like that. So it's just, again, it's just awful for the industry. Blizzard did the same thing. Like the WoW team released an entire expansion in the pandemic period. And then Mikey Barr, before fucking, you know, Microsoft bought them out, was like, hey, everybody back to the office. And they used it as an excuse because they knew a lot of people had, you know, purchased homes or whatever. And it's like, I can't come back to the office now. Like, let's like, oh, well, guess sucks to quit. Like,
yeah.
They just take advantage of their employees. Like, the industry is just so fucked right now, and we're just seeing it now. We're just seeing it. And it's going to get worse this year. I guarantee
you.
Rocksteady? It's going to be bad.
Do we think Rocksteady lasts this year? This calendar year?
No, I mean, I don't think the studio is going to close because they're just too big and I mean, look, even Shutdown Violet after back-to-back failures. So
true.
Oh, I mean, those failures were like tempered by decent sales, I think, with BioWare. Like
also BioWare's made more than just a single franchise too. Whereas
Rocksteady's made like
one franchise, and now that's it.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, like, if any other studio had gone from Mass Effect Andromeda to Anthem, they'd be closed down. 100%. They'd be closed.
They had the amount of money they blew away. Yeah.
Dragon Age stuff, I think, in between that sold okay, I thought.
What?
Dragon Age stuff in between, didn't they?
Some it stuff. Was third was Dragon. Last Dragon Age was Inquisition. That was like.
I think that's cool. That was a game of the year that year.
Yeah, but that was way before
it was
games I just listed.
Yeah, Andromeda
and Anthem were the latest. No,
it was before them. It was right. It was before them.
Anthem was a huge failure.
So yeah. All right. What else we got in the news? Gearbox. Talking about Gearbox possibly leaving Embracer as well, or being bought to another studio, or buying themselves out. Essentially, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't know the fate of them yet, but something is happening. I think next week, according to Randy Pitchford.
Yeah, apparently Randy had an all hands on deck town hall meeting or something like that, just giving people an update. And again, this is the state, and we've seen with Embracer over the past month, 2 months, that they can't be trusted to fucking, you know, deliver on the things that they said they were going to do, which is, you know, be a gigantic publisher.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure, just like that other studio that just bought themselves out in a $500 million fucking deal, everybody at Gearbox is like, yep, we need to do something about this before we just close down, right? Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you have to worry about that 100%.
Now, what I will have to say... If Sega has the chance to do the funniest thing, Sega were to buy Gearbox and fire Randy Pitchford, that would be the funniest thing. Because, you know, for those of you who don't know, Randy Pitchford and Gearbox got a lot of money from Sega back in the day to do Aliens Colonial Marines. And while they did make Aliens Colonial Marines, they used a lot of that money to develop the Borderlands franchise, right? Because...
Yeah, Borderlands would not exist without Colonial Marines money.
Right. And I mean, from a business perspective, I get it, because they're like, Aliens is a licensed game. Like, there's no real point for us to make a great licensed game, whereas we're incentivized to, you know, make a very good game of an IP that we own, right?
Right.
So I'm just saying, Sega, like, oh man, if somebody from Sega was like bitter and they're just like,
this whole time.
A $500 million hate purchase.
The funniest thing too about Colonial Marines, and I beat that game.
Yeah, because you lost a bet to it.
Yeah, that's right.
That game, like, there was like a single line of code that some guy found.
Oh, I forgot that. Yes,
it was like caused the AI to be like so dirty. Terrible. Like, yeah, it's like, and the people are like, why is this AI so bad in this game? And it was because a single line of code somebody missed. Missed this typo in it. And the guy found it, fixed it, and it, like, changed the game. Like, it didn't make a good game, but the AI was just, like, infinitely better.
Like, you would just stand in front of the alien and it wouldn't attack you or something like that. I remember, like, seeing videos at the time. So, yeah. So, I'll just say, if I were Sega, or if I were one of the execs at Sega that, you know, Randy Pitcher did it to, I would fucking do that. I'd be like, okay, guys, we are buying
we have $1 billion to spend on this company.
Yeah, exactly.
I think Embracer bought them for, like, $2 billion.
They're not getting that.
That's no way.
Yeah. So, and lastly, I've got Neil Druckmann talking about how he's not sure how many games he's got left in this world. He's only released two.
Well, he's been a part of a lot. What are you talking about?
I don't think he likes video games.
I mean, The Last of Us and Last of Us.
Uncharted 4, he was
big. Oh, he was part of Uncharted 4?
He was huge.
Was he part of Uncharted 4?
He was on, like... He took over from Amy Henning.
He took over for the game. Like, I gave her Amy Henning, I gave more credit because, like, three quarters of the game was done when he took over, I thought.
And then he changed, the whole bunch of it, yeah.
But I didn't realize that, but I will tell you that, like, I feel like, well, his games are, I mean, like,
he was a part of all the other Uncharted games, too.
Yeah, well, like that.
He just wasn't a director.
He moved up in the company.
He moved up, yeah. I mean, like, his associate, obviously... Was it Bruce
Staley?
Yeah, just left after the first game was burnt out. So now he's starting to feel the burnout as well, and it's, you know, it happens clearly. I mean, it's unbelievable that, like, you know, Miyamoto and these other like people like stay in this industry as long as they have. I mean, obviously they have a different market, at least, I guess, you know, working on their games, but it's unbelievable that like,
so when you make games that are lighthearted and fun,
that's, I guess that's really what it is too,
instead of making games that are just beating you down.
What about Kojima? Kojima's still doing games. Is he though?
Is he?
We'll see. Thank you. I was again, like him and I see a little bit of him with Druckmann where he'd rather be making movies.
Yeah. No, it seems like Druckmann got a taste of Hollywood and would rather do that. That's what it sounds like to me.
Absolutely. I mean, I really think he enjoyed doing The Last of Us show instead.
Yeah.
And I guarantee he's rubbing elbows with celebrities over the show rather than every, you know, everything, both the games.
He's like,
he's got context.
I barely have to do much of anything with this. This just happened.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I can't blame him, right? You got to get your bread somehow. And, you know, it's highlighted again. I'll cite Jason Schreier's first book, Blood, Sweat, and Pixels, where they talk about this, and they talked about Bruce getting burnt down on
Last
of Us 1 or whatever.
It was Last of Us. Last of Us, yeah.
Where, you know, it's like you literally are kind of killing yourself over a couple of years, especially during the crunch period with like 60, 70 hour work weeks and stuff like that.
You're like renting out apartments that are 5 minutes away or whatever.
Right. So you can spend more time at the office instead of commuting. And that's fine when you're, you know, young and single and whatnot. But like when you're middle age now and you have kids, and that's what he said. He's like, I want to focus on my kids because, you know, they're not going to be around, you know, in the house much longer and stuff like that. So it's like, yeah, I don't blame the guy. But again, it just goes to show that like when you have your most talented people that are like, yeah, I'm done, right? Because I mean, like at his age, he should still be in the industry, right? Like you point out,
yeah,
you know,
his mind should still be creating stuff in this industry. Yeah, absolutely.
And the thing is, like, late 40s, early 50s, something like that.
I'll look
up real quick. You're a little older than us, but you know, Jim, I'm glad you brought up the Nintendo thing because one of the things that came out during the Super Mario Wonder interview around its marketing press releases and stuff 46. Like that. 46. Yeah, a little older than us. Was that the staff that worked on Super Mario Wonder, like, I think they said, like, out of the people that worked on Super Mario Brothers 1, like, the first Mario Brothers game, like, I think, like, 90-something percent of them were, like, still around with the company and helped make Mario Wonder. That's crazy to think about.
That's incredible.
Right?
Yeah, like, that's incredible.
You're talking 40 years, right?
That's absolutely incredible. Yes.
And it just goes to show, like, you know, I get studios do the things that they want to do, right? And what they think is going to sell well and stuff like that. But when you're doing these AAA big budget games, it has a toll, right? It has an absolute toll on you. Whereas like literally with Mario Wonder, they're like, hey guys, work on a Mario game. No deadline. Just whenever you're finished, we'll release it. And it's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Remember last year, this time when we're like, why isn't there a new 2D Mario or 3D Mario game to tie in with the movie? Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like if there were any other studio, they probably wouldn't like, guys, push this out the door. Pushes out the fucking door right now because we need to fucking sell systems and games. I was like, we'll release at the end of the year. It's fine. Like, doesn't matter. So
no, they have that luxury. Even the Zelda development over there was.
They delayed it like an entire year just to do polish and bug fix and stuff. But again, this just all feeds back into the industry's the AAA industry is not sustainable. It's not working. And especially with Druckmann here, especially. I guarantee you he probably had to have some tough conversation with the SCEI, like the higher ups there. And is like, so even if we make like a 90 plus Metacritic game that goes on to become game of the year, right? And we all make bonuses, and that's fine. But like, you're going to still tell me to lay off people at the company? Yeah. Like,
I'm sure that this
I feel the same right way. I'd be like, fuck that. Absolutely.
Yeah. That has to be part of that. This whole layoff thing had to be weighing on it because it's like, this came out right after that. And they've had such a successful run, even with all these remasters. They all sold great, these remasters.
Mm-hmm.
So we joke about it on this podcast, but they sell. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like this,
that's fine. You know? Yeah. We joke about it, yes. But
it's easy money.
It's easy money. It gives the less experienced developers something to work on, right? Because it's like, oh, hey. This is how our battle system works. This is how the map works. Yeah. This is how the camera works. Okay, cool. Yeah. Like, that's great.
It's just, like you said, it's unsustainable right now. We're going to have, and the problem is how do you go back from what we've already experienced as AAA? Like, how do you?
You don't. You're trying to put something back in Pandora's box.
Yeah, you can't do that. I know. I know.
Like, can you imagine the outrage of Grand Theft Auto 6 is like, you know.
You're going to be one small area. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just the same thing as Grand Theft Auto 5, right? It's like, whatever.
No,
I would be fucking flipping shit, dude.
Eyes of Grand Theft Auto 3. right? Yeah. That's all. Like, it was graphically great, but it was the size of Grand Theft Auto 3. Yeah. It would flip out.
It'd be insane.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. You always have to, it's escalation. It's always building to something that's, like you said, unsustainable. So I think I've got everything. Did I miss anything? I think we got it.
I think we got it.
All right. That's going to wrap up the Gamecast, folks. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed the episode. We did. We will see you guys next week on Twitch live, Tuesday nights, 8 o'clock. YouTube, all the content's over there. Subscribe, leave us a comment over there, a thumbs up. We'd love to chat with you guys. Thanks for all of you viewers for tuning in. We appreciate it, guys. We're going to see you next week.
Yeah.